All right, we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Nozir, daf Gimel. So we are picking up actually on the last line of Beis Amud Beis. So remember again, we left off in the Gemara in the section where a person makes the following statement. The person says, "Hey Noah, I want to be beautiful." Who doesn't, right? I want to be beautiful. So what did the Mishnah Paskin? That is a statement of Nazirus. Person says that, they're a Nazir. Last line of the Gemara. How could this be? The Gemara says, Nazira milsa da avera. And we'll say, now we are going to spend a significant amount of time talking about this concept. Not here, actually. Here the Gemara just kind of mentioning it tangentially. But the Gemara says, but one second, becoming a Nazir ultimately is an avera. And Abbas said, now we will see. Now, how can you say that Nazirus is an avera? After all, again, presumably a person, as you saw in the opening daf of this Masechta, becomes a Nazir in order to bolster their personal holiness. Because remember, again, in general, Judaism is not an ascetic religion. And Judaism believes, Abbas said, it is always easy, this is an important yisod, it is always easy to quote-unquote become holy by running away from everything, right? And by ostering everything. That's always easy. Meaning if I lock myself up in a room and don't allow myself to be part of the world and distance myself from every negative influence, then of course I'll be holy. You know, I could be like a Rishon Bar Yochai in the cave. So if you do a Rishon Bar Yochai in the cave and all you've got is water and buxer, right? And you're learning Torah all day, of course you're going to become holy. That's not really a challenge. The greater challenge is living in the world. The greater challenge ultimately is being exposed to all different kinds of influences and still maintaining your fidelity and allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why, again, we'll see that there are those who do not like Nazirus because they feel ultimately it's a cop-out and a person is pursuing Kedushim the wrong way. In any event, again, a discussion for later on. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So therefore, according to this, how can you say when someone says, hey, no, I want to be beautiful, how can you say that I want to be beautiful equals a Neder Nazirus when Nazirus is not beautiful? To which the Gemara says, Nazirus milsa da avera, ba'amri ve'noah. So Nazirus is an avera, and you're telling me again that it's beautiful, top of Gimel. In, yeah, da'afil Rabbi Eliyahu, listen to this. Tafid Rabbi Elazar HaKafar, the Amr Nazir Chote, because even Rabbi Elazar HaKafar, who is the one who says that the Nazir is a Chote, right, that the Nazir is a sinner. And by the way, where does Rabbi Elazar HaKafar get that from? If you take a look at the Tap Rashi, in Tafid Rabbi Elazar HaKafar, the Amr Nazir Chote, v'lo mikri noah, it's not called something beautiful, the Chsiv, the Chiper Alav Me'asher Chota Al HaNefesh, because the Pasuk says, again, he will atone for himself from that which he sinned. So the fact that the Torah itself says that at the end of the Nazirite vow, the Nazir must bring a kapara for his sin, indicates to us what? You don't have to read a lot into this, right? That he sinned. Therefore, even according to Elazar HaKafar, when is that? Hani mili gabi Nazir tame. Oh, when is that? That's talking about a Nazir who was a Nazir, then became tame. I will say, what happens when a Nazir becomes tame, as we'll learn, his current Nazir stops, comes to a grinding halt, and he must start again. So, da'aydi de'boi mitzer da'amri rachman levahayom harishonim yiplu kitame nizro. So, since this individual could come to a state of Isra household, because since the Torah says that once he becomes tame, the yomim harishonim, the first days that he observed, ultimately fall away, and he has to go ahead and observe Nazirus again. Hosam hu dilma asit lemeavar al Nazirusei. So Rabbi Elazar HaKafar says that when is a Nazir considered to be a sinner? When he becomes Tameh. Now, listen, I want to be clear. We're talking about it. We can be easily talking about a situation where what? He's not becoming Tameh intentionally. It just happens. But yet Rabbi Elazar HaKafar says you're a sinner for getting yourself into this situation. Why? Because Rabbi Elazar, imagine the following situation. Person takes a Neder Nazirus for 30 days. 25 days into it, he goes ahead and he becomes Tameh. So what happens? First 25 follow, he's going to observe another 30. Rabbi Elazar HaKafar feels the longer the duration of your Nazirus, the greater the probability that you're going to transgress. Because again, as we'll talk about, it is not a simple lifestyle. That's when Rabbi Elazar HaKafar says that a person is a sinner, when a Nazir is a sinner, when they get into this Tumah situation and have to repeat the Neder Nazirus again, because now chances are they'll violate the Nazirus in one way or another. Take a look at Rashi. Hani midi gabi Nazir Tameh, shenitma. The ID the person became tummy. The ID the boy Mr. Yom Harishonim or Mehadur Mimni Zimna Achrisi Arichalim Ilsa, because now that he has, now that his first days fall to the side and he's got to observe another second day cycle, another second cycle, it's a very long Nadir Nazirus. And says Rashi, Dilma Asila Me Avra Al Nazirusay Kedara Parakama Dinidar, Kishem Tamid Rabin Alehin, you may Tuma Mescharatin Bohem, Vinitzma Vien Nidar, Chulun Azar, what's the has in the Darim? There's a couple of issues. First of all, again, the longer the duration, the greater the probability that you may transgress. Number two, the longer the duration, the more you may come to regret that you ever took this on. Remember, you know, both like going back to our Nadarim days, Charata, remorse is one of the ways in which a person gets out of a Nadar, and it could be with a variety of different circumstances that a person may end up bringing unconsecrated animals to the Beis HaMikdash, which of course could be a terrible transgression. So again, we'll get into all more of this later on, but the point that Rabbi Lazar Kafar says is, when do I say that the Nazir is a chote? That's when he becomes tamei and has to observe a longer duration, because chances are either he'll regret it or he'll transgress it. Aval Nazir Tahor lav chote karebe. But I will say, in a regular situation where a person makes a Nadir Nazirus, Rabbi Lazar HaKafar does not call him a chote. Therefore, because he doesn't call him a chote, then taking this full circle, now we understand the psak of the Mishnah. Because therefore the Mishnah says that when the person says, Ahei Na'eh, I will be beautiful, that's what? What is that considered to be? A statement, a Nedr Nazirus. Because again, as long as a person doesn't become Tameh, then at the end of the day, the Nedr Nazirus can in fact be something beautiful. We'll say there's an incredible Musr in this as well. You'll say to yourself, well, one second, how could Rabbi Lazar HaKafar say that the Nazir is a chote when he becomes Tameh, when very often circumstances of Tumah, how do they happen? Right? By themselves. So, meaning, I didn't, it's not like I went out, I'm cruising for Tumah. Right? You know, meaning, it's not like I was looking for this. You know, meaning, sometimes these situations happen. I'll say it's an incredible yisod in life. Rav Soloveitchik talks about this extensively as well in the realm of tshuva, which is that things don't just happen in life. Meaning, very often when we get ourselves into bad situations, it's because of a number of other things that we let occur in our life. You know, people get themselves into trouble. How did I get here? How did you get here? Right? Go back and why don't you look at the decisions you made up until this point? Why don't you look at what you did yesterday and the day before and the little things that you thought were so innocuous are not so innocuous. They all add up. So Rabbi Lazar HaKafar says, look, Nedr Nazirus is fine by itself, but if it turns out that you became Tamei, then the truth is, it's the fact that you took on all of these things on Tumah that got you to this point. It's an incredible yisod of life. So even though the Tumah, I understand you didn't go looking for it, but you placed yourself in this situation. In life, you're not just responsible for what happens, but you're responsible for the situations in which you place yourself. If they go right, great. And if they go badly, I have that responsibility for how they turned out. Right there. Harini Masalso. So remember again, the Mishnah said, Harini Masalso, which, well, we didn't translate it in the Mishnah, but the Mishnah said, a person says, Harini Masalso, then I'm a Nazir. Says the Gemara, Mimai Dahadin Silsul Sara. How do we know that Sil, now we'll say, obviously the way the Gemara is understanding it is, that it means, Masalso literally means, I am growing my hair out, or I should say, or I'm doing something with my hair. So how do we know ultimately again that Masalso means? Oh, thank you. Okay, thank you. Harini Kazeh. So if a person says, I am like this one, meaning again, about another lashon of Nazirus, Nihi Nami de Tafos Pesaro. Harini Kazeh Lo Omar. So what say? So the Gemara says like this. If a person says, I am like this one, so again, the Mishnah Paskins that a person is a Nazir, so Nihi Nami de Tafos Pesaro. So even if you want to say this is a case where a person is holding onto their hair, when they say, Harini Kazeh, I am like this one, nevertheless, Harini Kazeh Lo Amar, such a statement like this is meaningless. Amor Shmuel Kigon Shahaya Nazir over the fun of. Shmuel says, what's the case? Where there was a Nazir walking in front of me. So we'll say, in this kind of case, where there's another walking in front of me, and I'm holding on to my hair, and they say, Harini Kazeh, you put that all together, and what does it equal? It equals an Nedr Nazirus. Next, Harini Misalsal, Mimai Dahadin Silsul Sara. How do I know that the word Silsul has to do with hair? Keda Amra Leahu Amsa Debe Rebbe Lahu Gavra, because once the maidservant of Rebbe said to a man, Admasai Atomis Salsal Besarecha, until how long are you going to go ahead and curl your hair? So Rabbah says, the lashon of silsul is a lashon of grooming, a lashon of combing one's hair, curling one's hair. Therefore, if a person says, hareni misalsel, we interpret that as accepting a neder nezirus. I am a Torah, but say instead that misalsel refers to Torah. What does that mean? Because the pasuk over here from Mishlei, salsaleha utirom mecha, which literally means explore the Torah, and it will uplift you. So sasa literally means to delve into it. So maybe a person's taking an edit to learn more Torah. Amr Shmuel hachanami shetafas besaro. Oh, what's the case? The case again, Rabosa, is when the person is making this statement, he is holding on to his hair. So the idea over here is, you're right, and what we see the common denominator is that when a person is making these nidarim, so the verbal statement by itself is too ambiguous to mean anything. But if the verbal statement is accompanied by some type of behavior which directs the statement towards the hair, then lemaisa again it becomes clear what a person is saying. So remember again, in Hareni Kazeh, it's not enough just hold on to your hair, you need the Nazir walking in front of him. In Hareni Misalsel, so if a person holds on to their hair, that's enough of a statement that a person is talking about Nazirus. Hareni Michalkel, or actually Michalkel, so what does that mean? Mimai Dahan Kilkul Saro. How do we know that Hareni Mekalkel has to do ultimately again with hair? How do we know it's a statement about hair and therefore Nedr Nezirus? To which the Gemara says, Kidisnan. Because remember, we learned in a Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos, Sid. But remember, we learned in Shabbos that in order to be in violation of the Malacha of Hotsah, a person has to carry a significant amount. In other words, that if you carry out what is quote-unquote an insignificant amount, you're not chayav for hotzah. So obviously, significance is subjective and varies item to item. So let's say a person is carrying out sid. Sid is literally plaster, but plaster was often used not just for homes, but ultimately as a depilatory, to remove hair as well. So the Gemara says sid. How much sid does a person have to carry in order to be chayav on Shabbos? Rabbi Yehuda Omer kedei lasud kilkul. Rabbi Yehuda says enough to go ahead and shmir on the kilkul. And what's kilkul? Amarav bas sida. It refers to the temples. So you see that literally the hair on the temples. So you see that kilkul ultimately means hair. Therefore, a person goes in and says hareni mechalkel. Says the Mishnah, a person is accepting upon themselves an edin aziros. Aye, the Gemara says 1 second. Ema. Mezen aniye. Say when a person says hareni mechalkel, that what they're really accepting upon themselves the responsibility to feed the poor. After all, again, what does the pasuk say? Kidichsev vaychalkel Yosef es aviv ve'es achiv ves echov. Right, that Yosef went ahead and supported his father and his brothers. So maybe when a person says hareni mechalkel, what he's really saying is I accept upon myself to feed the poor. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel keeps giving the same answer. What's the case? A person is holding on to their hair. So when a person is holding on to their hair, what they're saying is that the statement I am making is directly related to my hair. And therefore, what does it mean when a person makes a statement related to their hair? Ultimately, they're accepting upon themselves a neder nezirus. Hareini alai l'shaleach pera, hare ze nazir. Next case. Person says, it is hereby upon me, l'shaleach pera, to send out or to grow out pera. Pera means my locks of hair. So harei ze nazir. So ultimately, this is a statement of nazirus. Says the Gemara, mimai dahadin shiluach ribuyahu. How do we know that the lashon of shiluach l'shaleach is a lashon of growing out, or I should say, of growth? Of growth and increase, dichsev, because the pasuk says shalachayich pardes rimonim. Literally, we look at Rashi actually for just a moment. Dichsev shalachayich pardes rimonim. This is from Shir Hashirim. They remember again, Shir Hashirim, of course, is the whole metaphor, allegorical prose and poetry, like a love song. So here, Shlomo Melech is saying shalachayich, the growth of your hair is pardes rimonim. Is like as fragrant or as beautiful as an orchard of pomegranates. So over here, the Gemara says, you see, shalachayich is lashon of growing out of hair. Ema midi davori, but maybe shalachayich or shaleach does not mean growing out, but rather something that passes by. Kidichsiv v'shaleach mayim apnei chutzos. like the Pasuk says in Eov, like he who sends forth water on the farts of the fields, to which the Gemara says, Tana para pera pera yolif. In fact, the Mishnah is running out the Gzereshava of pera pera. What does that mean? Ksiv hacha, it says over here, Kadosh yegadol pera. So the Pasuk says, call this term by the Nazir. Pasuk says that by the Nazir will grow out his hair. And it says, Kodesh yeh gadol pera, that ultimately the growth of the hair will be kadosh. So it called gadol pera, ksiv hasam gabi kohen head yot, and it says by the kohen head yot, upera lo yishalechu. It says by the kohen head yot, the halacha is just the opposite. The kohen is not permitted to allow his hair to grow wildly. Instead, every once in a while, he's obligated to make sure to cut it. So the idea, says the Gemara, is like this. We also remember, just follow this flow for just a moment. The Gemara wanted to say, how do you know? Person saying in the Mishnah, Hare alai l'shaleach pera. It is upon me l'shaleach pera to send forth or to grow forth my hair. So the first question the Gemara asked was, how do I know that shalach is a lashon of growth? To which the Gemara answers in the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. But then the Gemara says, but 1 second, shalach could also be a lashon of just sending away. So the Gemara says, okay, if you don't want to learn out from shalach, we can learn out from pera. Because pera, we know for sure, means what? Means to grow out. Where do we know that from? Because it says pera by Nazir, and it says pera ultimately by the kohen head yot. And by the kohen head yot, Torah says that he can't allow the pera, he can't allow the hair to grow wildly, which means that when the pasuk by Nazir says that the pera of his head will be kadosh, that refers to the growth of the hair. Therefore, even if I'm not exactly sure what l'shaleach pera means, I know pera means growth of hair. Therefore, when a person says, Hare alai l'shaleach pera, the pera itself means a neder nezirus. The other possibility is, Hai sholeach mayim nami ribuyuhu. Even if you want to say, from the pasuk of sholeach mayim apanei chutzos, sends forth water on the part of the field, that's also called growth. Why? Kidmatagim Rav Yosef, dekad mashkin le'maya le'peira v'rabi. Because ultimately when the field is watered, when the fruits are watered, they grow. So even the lashon of shalach still ultimately, again, is a lashon of growth. Okay. Hare alai tziporin. So now when the Mishnah said, a person says, I hereby accept upon myself birds. Birds. So what was the halacha? Rabbi Meir says, this is a neder nezirus. And the Chacham disagreed. The Chacham said, no, this is not a neder nezirus. Says the Gemara, my taima de Rabbi Meir. What is Rabbi Meir's logic? I mean, why does Rabbi Meir say that this is a neder nezirus? Well, it's actually quite interesting. So the Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish says, Tziporin smuchin l'sear kibel alof. Because when he says Tziporin, he doesn't really mean Tziporin. What he means is Tziporin that are juxtaposed to hair. Now, what does that mean? Dichsev. I will say here, the Gemara quotes from the Pasuk in Daniel. And the Pasuk says, bless you, the Pasuk says, this is talking about, without getting into the whole storyline, there was a point in time where Nebuchadnezzar lost it a little bit, right? Nebuchadnezzar went a little bit crazy, and he went off into the fields and the forests and lived like an animal. So the Navi Daniel is describing these couple of years that Nebuchadnezzar kind of went off the grid and just lost it. So here it describes Nebuchadnezzar as ad, it's actually the end of the pasuk, ad di sa'arei kinishrin rabo, literally his hair became like the feathers of eagles, utif rohi kitziporin, and his nails became like the claws of birds. Literally, he just let his hair grow, he let his nails grow, he became like a beast of the field. Now listen to this. Rabbi Meir Savar, matpis inish b'midi disamichle. So Rabbi Meir holds that a person goes ahead, and I will say, sometimes when a person makes a neder, so they make a neder by using a word that is juxtaposed to the actual subject matter of the neder they want to make. So listen to this. In this pasuk over here, remember we have the birds juxtaposed to the hair, right? Because remember, it describes Nebuchadnezzar that his hair grew out like the feathers of eagles and his nails kitziporin, like birds. So Rabbi Meir says like this. When a person says, I'm accepting upon myself birds, what birds is he really referring to? He's referring to the birds in this pasuk by Nebuchadnezzar, and those birds are mentioned in conjunction with what? With the growing out of hair. So it's kind of like code. It's code.
that a person will often use a juxtaposed word in order to make a point. So Tziporin is juxtaposed ultimately to hair. So when he says, I accept upon myself birds, what he's really doing is, I'm accepting upon myself the growth of hair, just like mentioned in the Pasuk, where the birds are juxtaposed to hair. So a little bit of a convoluted way of making Nidarim. Well, we'll see where Rabbi Meir gets this from. Take a look at the last Rashi on the Daf. So Rabbi Meir, Sarah Matfis Inish B'midi D'samichle. Literally, a person connects one thing to something to which it is just juxtaposed. Ulahachi Amar Tziporin. This is when he says Tziporin in his Neder, Deboi Lekabuli Alei Gidul Seir. Because really what he's accepting upon himself is to grow out his hair, which of course is Nezirus. The Samech Leil Tziporin, which is juxtaposed in the Pasuk to birds, Ukigon Shahaya Nazir over Lefanov, O Tafos B'Sa'ara Kidamina Lebos. And now Rashi adds in something very interesting. According to Rashi, so Rabbi Meir's Shita is only when what? Only when there's a Nazir walking by or I'm holding on to my hair. In other words, they're both saying, so Rabbi Meir's logic is like this. When a person says, I accept the birds upon myself. So what does that statement mean? So Rabbi Meir says, that's referring to birds mentioned in the Pasuk in conjunction with growth of hair. Now, but that, so meaning I'm taking upon myself a Neder Nezirus. But when could we interpret my words that I'm accepting upon myself birds as Neder Nezirus? That's only when contextually there's a reason to say that. Either A, because there's another walking by right in front of me, or because I'm holding on to my hair. In a case like that, when I say I'm accepting upon myself birds, we assume the birds that I mean are the birds that are mentioned in reference or juxtaposed. I don't mean birds. Birds is code for the words to which birds are juxtaposed in the Pasuk in Daniel, namely hair, and I'm accepting upon myself the Neder Nezirus to grow out my hair. Okay. But I want to amadeis. But Rabbanan Savri, lo matfis in shemidi the samech. The Rabbanan say, no, that does not make any sense. Right? Look at Rashi. Lo matfis in shemidi the samech. A person does not go ahead. Matfis rabosai means link or hinge their words on something that is juxtaposed. Look at Rashi. Lo aminan shebedaito haya lomar gidol seyar. Ilav de mefaresh behedja. Va'afagav de benazia over the farm. The Rabbanan say, no. When he says birds, you can't assume that birds means that he's going to grow out his hair. If he meant to grow out his hair, what should he have said? I'm going to grow out my hair, right? Or again, Rabbi said, or use any of the other lashonos. Remember, again, we've established, you can use semi-ambiguous lashonos when what? When it's clear from the context that you are talking about Neder Nezirus. Rabbi Yochanan, so we'll say, that's Yesh Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. So you're both saying, in Reish Lakish's model, the machlokes in the Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon is whether or not a person is matfis in Yishremidi de Samech. Does a person go ahead and make a neder using a word that is juxtaposed to the real subject matter of the neder? Rabbi Meir says yes, the Rabbanon say no. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, and he says that's not the case. He says, D'chuli alma lo matfis. Not true. In reality, people do not make nedarim using words that are juxtaposed to what it is that they really mean to make the neder about. That doesn't make sense. Ella, how many times Rabbi Meir, dechashinan shemat sipori nazir tamei kibel alav. If we'll say, listen to this, what do birds have to do with neder nezirus? Oh, they have a lot to do with neder nezirus. When? If we'll say, if a person makes neder nezirus and then they become tamei, so one of the ritual rites that a nazir has to bring when he becomes tamei is what? Shteit siporim. He has to bring two birds. So what does it mean when a person says that I accept upon myself birds? Rabbi Meir will say, it means I'm accepting upon myself a neder nezirus that could, or I should say, I'm accepting upon myself something that could result in the bringing of birds. What is something that could result in the bringing of birds? Nezirus. Take a look at Rashi just a moment. When he says, I accept upon myself birth, the Dilma Kamar Shabbatitla Kabbalah of Midi Dizinin the Maisel Tziporin. I'm accepting upon myself something that could result in the bringing of birds, namely, the Hainu Nezirus. Listen to this. I will say, because what? So now what I'm saying is, I'm not actively accepting upon myself bringing of birds. I'm accepting upon myself something that could result in the bringing of birds, namely, Nazir Tameh. So I will say, now, I want to be clear. I'm not accepting upon myself to become a Nazir Tameh. I'm accepting upon myself a neder that under certain circumstances could require me to go ahead and bring birds. What type of neder is that? That is a neder nezirus, where if I become tamei, that could result ultimately again in the obligation to bring a bird offering. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Michti chashinan ka'amar domat zipori nedaver kibal alav. So I don't understand. If the guy is accepting upon himself birds, so you're saying maybe what that means, Rav Meir said that maybe, what that means is that he's accepting upon himself a neder of something that could result in the bringing of birds, i.e. nezirus. Maybe he's just taking upon himself a karban nedava, right? A gift of voluntary offering. And he's saying, I hereby accept upon myself a voluntary offering to bring birds. You can do that. Imkein, hare alai kein kan mi boile. If that's the case of Osai, the lashon for bringing upon yourself, for accepting upon yourself a neder to bring a bird offering is what? I hereby accept upon myself a nest. Kan, like kan sipor. Let's say this week's parasha, kan sipor. I hereby accept upon myself a kan, a nest. That ultimately, again, is the lashon that is used when a person wants to accept upon themselves a neder to bring a bird offering. V'dilma, listen to this. V'dilma, hare alai tzipore mitzora ka'amar. So we'll say, maybe the case is the following. Maybe I'm accepting upon myself to go ahead and bring sipore mitzora. We'll say, now what does that mean? What does that mean? That maybe ultimately what's happening over here is I have a good friend who's a mitzora, right? And he has to bring his bird offering. Now what am I doing? I'm sponsoring his karbanos, right? Right? Today's mitzora's offerings have been sponsored by the Silver family, right, in honor of Reuven finally becoming Tamei Tar, right? So maybe that's what I'm doing. Maybe that's what I'm accepting upon myself. So which the Gemara says, Kagon Shai Nazir over the fun of. Oh, what's the case? Again, I will say context. The case is where Nazir is walking in front of me. So the fact that the Nazir is walking in front of me right now and I'm making this statement indicates that my statement is somehow linked to Nazirus. I, Vidilma, Nazir Tamei, Ula Potro Min Karbanos of Kamar. I, but maybe it's referring to... Maybe it's referring to a Nazir Tamei, and I'm coming along to go ahead and take care of his karbanos. So I'll say, now this is the same type of case, but in Nazir. Maybe when I accept upon myself the birds, I have a friend who's a Nazir Tamei. I have a friend who's a Nazir Tamei, and what happens? He has to bring now his bird offerings. I am accepting upon myself to furnish him with the birds. I'm going to pick up the tab for the karbanos, to which the Gemara says, Kegon Shaya Nazir Tahir over the Fanaf. Oh, what's the case? But I will say there's a Nazir Tahar, a pure Nazir, meaning a ritually pure Nazir, who's walking in front of me. So I will say, so again, so now we are left with the Machlokes, two different versions. So remember, two different versions as the Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon. According to Reish Lakish, the Machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon is a fundamental yisod, a fundamental principle, which is how people make nedarim. According to Rabbi Meir, people make nedarim is what we call matfis inish b'midei desomech. A person will sometimes use a word to make a neder, not because that word is meaningful, impactful, or effective, but because that word is juxtaposed in a scriptural context to another word, which is the real essence of my neder. Therefore, according to Reish Lakish's version of Rabbi Meir, if I make a neder, hare alait siporin, I'm really referring to what? I'm referring to the birds that are juxtaposed to the hair in the pasuk in Daniel, and I'm really taking upon myself an eden aziras. Whereas the Rabbanon say, we don't hold to that concept. Therefore, if you go ahead and you say, I'm accepting upon myself birds, that is too ambiguous and too open-ended of a statement to generate any kind of neder nezirus. That's Reish Lakish's version. In Rabbi Yochanan's version, according to Rabbi Meir, we assume that because there's a Nazir Tahir walking in front of you, when you say Hare Alai Tziporin, what you really mean is, what's going to Rabbi Meir? I accept upon myself the birds, I accept upon myself a neder that could potentially result in the bringing of birds. Which refers to what? Which refers ultimately again to Niziros. According to the Rabbanon, once again, such a statement is too ambiguous. It can mean a variety of different things, therefore it does not generate the neder Niziros. So my Beinayu, what's the practical difference between these two? So we'll say, remember, everyone's agreement is fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. So now we just have two different versions of it. What's the fundamental machlokes? What's the nafkamina between the versions of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Ike benayu kigon do amar siporin hasmuchim l'sheyar alai. We'll say, let's say a person makes an explicit neder like this. I hereby accept upon myself the birds that are juxtaposed to the hair. The birds that are juxtaposed to the hair. So the Rabbi Yochanan, afagav de amar hachi, I nazir over lefanav in ilolo. And I will say, according to Rabbi Yochanan's model, according to Rabbi Meir, that neder would only work if what? If there was a nazir who was walking by in front of me. Because remember, Rabbi Yochanan's model, that's what generates, that's what makes Rabbi Meir's neder binding. Or the neder according to Rabbi Meir binding. There's another walking in front of me. I say ultimately again that I accept upon myself birds that are samuch l'sear. Remember, according to Rabbi Yochanan, samuch l'sear is meaningless. What's meaningful? That I accept upon myself birds and the nazir is walking by. On the other hand, afagav de'amar hachi in nazir over lefanav in ilo lo. Rav Shem ben Lakish, afagav de'in nazir over lefanav. But according to Reish Lakish's version of Rabbi Meir, if a person literally says, I hereby accept upon myself the birds that are juxtaposed to the hair, according to Reish Lakish's version of Rabbi Meir, even if a nazir is not walking by, that nazir is effective. Why? Because according to Reish Lakish, Rabbi Meir darshins smuchin. He darshins this matfis inish b'midei d'samuch, and therefore if he explicitly says, I'm accepting upon myself the birds juxtaposed to hair, then ultimately he's referring to the pasuk in Daniel, and that creates a nazir nazirus. So the Gemara says the following: Mi ikal eman da amar lo matfis inish b'milsa d'samuchle. Now we'll say the Gemara makes it sound like the Rabbanon disagree with this concept of matvis inish b'milsa d'samichle, that we don't accept this premise that a person uses a word that by itself is meaningless, but because it is contextually juxtaposed to a meaningful word, that it creates a binding nether. Is that true? That I want to reject this idea. V'atanya, we learned ha'omer yamin hariz yeshvua. Bosa, listen to this. If a person says yamin, a person says by my right hand, that this is a shvua. Now, what does this mean? Shalom ochal kikar zu. But so listen to this. Let's say a person says, right hand, that I will not eat this loaf. Literally, that statement. Right hand, that I will not eat this loaf. Interestingly enough, that is a shvua. That's an oath. I, Bravo, say, normally an oath is, I swear. No, if I say, right hand, I will not eat this oath, that's an oath. How do I know that? My taima. Lav mishum dechsev. Vayorem yemino usmolo ala shamayim. Vayishba v'chaya olam. Is it not because the Pasuk says, quoting the Pasuk in Daniel again, that literally, I lifted my right hand and my left hand to the heavens, and I swore. So what do you see from this Pasuk? You see that the word right is juxtaposed to what? It's juxtaposed to what? To swore. So perhaps, again, that's why if I say, right hand, I will not eat this loaf, that's matvis inish b'midei d'samech. That right doesn't really mean right. What does right really mean? Right really means shavua, because they're juxtaposed. That's why it's a shavua. So you see that everybody accepts this premise, that if you use a word that is juxtaposed to another meaningful word, that you could affect a proper shavua or another. Gemara says, no. Amri lo mishum diyamin gufei ikri shavua. No, that's not the reason. Right hand itself, is a lashon of shavua, is a lashon of an oath. How do we know that? This sanya. Minayin omer yamin shi shavua. How do we know that if a person says, my right hand, that this is a shvua? How do we know if that's a real oath? Shene'emar, nishpa Hashem b'yemino. Because the pasuk explicitly says that the Ribono Shel Olam swears by his right hand. So you see over here that the right, the expression of right, by definition, is a shvua. U'minayin la'omer smol shihi shvua. Also listen to this, not only that, but even if you say left hand, that's also a shvua. How do I know that? Shene'emar u'bizra uzo. Now here's what's interesting. The fact that it says Nishba Hashem b'yemino u'bizroa uzo. If God swears by his right hand and uzroa uzo. Now if right hand is the right hand, zroa uzo must mean what? Must mean left hand. This is just interesting. Therefore again the Gemara says that if a person says right hand or left hand, let's say a person says right hand, I will not eat this loaf. That's a shua. Not only that, but if a person says left hand, I will not eat this loaf, that is a shvua as well. So the sugya ends off ultimately with the machlokis between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon in terms of If a person says, Haria light siporim, Rabbi Meir says, that is a lashon of neder. Machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish as to why that is a neder. And bless you. And the Chachamim say it's not a neder. Also, you should just know the Rambam Paskins like the Chachamim. Namely, that again, such a lashon of Haria light siporim is too open-ended to affect a neder nezirus. Therefore, if a person makes that statement, even if it's a nazir over Lafana, even if there's a nazir walking by, that does not affect the neder nezirus. So look at the Mishnah. Harini nazir minachar tzalim. Now we're going to get into a little bit more of the kishkas of nazirus. Let's say a person says, I am a nazir from chatzanim. Chatzanim, I will say, are grape seeds. Grape seeds. Umina zogim. Zogim are grape skins. Umina taglachas. Or I'm a nazir from cutting my hair. Umina tuma. Or I'm a nazir from tuma, from coming in contact with the crops. So I will say, now what happened in this case? In this case, you see, under normal circumstances, a person just says, I'm a nazir. And what does that include? That include all the prohibitions of nazirus. In this case, a guy is singling out certain Nazirite behaviors and saying, I accept upon myself this. So I accept upon myself not to go ahead, I am a Nazir from grape seeds. Done. So the Shaila is, I'm a Nazir, I'm not going to come in contact with the corpse. So the Shaila is, what is the impact of that statement? So the Gemara says, Harez a Nazir v'chol dikduke nazirus alav. Such a person is a Nazir, and all of the strictures of Nazirus, all of the details of Nazirus are upon him. In other words, the Mishnah paskins that when you accept one part of Nazirus, then what have you effectively done? You've affected the entirety of Nazirus. Says the Gemara, Mishnah masnisin deloka Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon, because what does Rabbi Shimon say? Disanya, Rabbi Shimon omer eino chayiv ad shiyadu mikulam. And we'll say Rabbi Shimon's shita is that in order to become a Nazir, you must go ahead and explicitly accept all of the prohibitions upon you. Now, listen, I want to be clear. Now, Rabbi Shimon would agree, if a person says, Hareini Nazir, you don't have to say, I'm a Nazir, and I'm not going to drink wine, and I'm not going to eat grape seeds, and I'm not going to eat grape skins, and I'm not going to come in contact with it. You don't have to say, if you say Hareini Nazir, then that's enough. But if you begin to say, Hareini Nazir Min, I'm a Nazir, I'm not going to eat grapes. Oh, once you started specifying, then what? You need to articulate everything. And if you don't articulate everything, then your Nazir Nazirus is not valid. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, say, Afilu lo Nazir ela bechad min hon havi Nazir. Not true. Even if you just said, I am a Nazir, let's say, for example, just apart from the Mishnah, Minachar Tzonim, I'm not going to eat grape seeds, according to the Rabbanan, ultimately, again, that affects the Nazir Nazirus. Says the Gemara, my time with Rabbi Shimon, what's Rabbi Shimon's logic? Meaning, why does he say you have to articulate everything? Amarkra. Because the Pasuk says, Mikol Asher Ye'aseh, the Pasuk says that when the Nazir becomes Asher, Mikol Asher Ye'aseh, Migefen Hayayin, Mechartzonim Va'adzag, he becomes Asher in everything that is made from grapes, wine, grape seeds, grape skins. So the fact that the Torah explicitly articulates everything, if it would have just said, Mikol Asher Ye'aseh Migefen, right, that would have been enough. The fact that the Torah has to say every single thing indicates to us, what, according to Rabbi Shimon, that literally you're only a Nazir when you explicitly take a neder, prohibiting yourself from all of these things. But Rabban on my time, and why is it that the rabbis hold that, no, you don't have to explicitly articulate every single thing, but rather as long as you articulate one of the things. By the way, I want to be clear about say, everyone agrees, you don't have to articulate anything. Meaning you could just technically speaking say, I am a Nazir, and that's enough. But once you're going to start articulating, so the Chacham say, even if you just articulated one thing, that's enough. My time, Amakra, Miyayin v'shechar yazir. Because the Pasuk says, Miyayin v'shechar. Take a look at Rashi. Amakra, Miyayin v'shechar yazir. Demashma, ta'afilu de lo nazir, ela miyayin l'chudei, havi nazir mekulam. So the Rabbanan's interpretation of this Pasuk is that even if you just became a Nazir from one thing, ultimately, again, that you accept the entirety of Nazirus upon yourself. So I will say, we'll stop over here for today, but I'm just pointing out, we're ending off min machlokis, fundamental dispute between Rabbi Meir. Between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon, Rabbi Shimon saying that again, everybody agrees if you just say already Nazir, you're a Nazir. What they're disagreeing on is the moment you begin to specify what it is that you are a Nazir from. Rabbi Meir says if you're going to start the process, you got to finish it and specify everything. And if you don't, your Nazirite vow is not binding. On the other hand, the Rabbanon saying no. Once you articulate, you don't have to articulate anything. But once you specify one, once you've bought into one piece of an Ed Nazirus, then what? you've bought the entire package. To be continued, Emir Sashem, tomorrow.
We're going over all those.